We light the third candle to remind us of John the Baptist and of all God's messengers who prepared the way for the coming of our Saviour. God of grace, equip us, we pray, for the calling. Open our eyes to your word. Open our ears to your call. Open our hand to give what we have, and open our hearts to wonder of the glory of your love, and so help us to see the world and others as Jesus see them. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Amen.
I forgot a very important notice, as my wife had just reminded me. Tonight there is a service at 6:15, carols by candlelight. As you see, that should have reminded me, the candles are upstairs. So come along and enjoy singing carols, listening to readings, and celebrating Christmas. And coffee and mince pies afterwards. Thank you. Thank you. You can carry on now.
That's all right.
Did you say you could be finished by 6:30?
So I'm told by somebody over there.
When Mary heard the good news that Jesus was to be born, she sang a song, and we're going to sing that now. Tell out my soul the glory of the Lord. We stand to sing. Watch Dad's Army, you'll know that the vicar often refers to that as the Te Deum Laudamus, which is praise God, praise God. Let's come to God in prayer. Lord, we come to you this morning and bless you because you have been good to us. We don't deserve your goodness, we don't deserve your love, we don't understand why you should be so good and your love should be so great. Lord, we know what the state of war looks like. We see it every day on the news with devastated buildings and damaged bodies. And we know that before Jesus came into this world, there was a state of war between man and God. Peace was elusive. Peace was not possible. And yet this morning, as we come towards Christmas, we know that peace is something that we can have with God and also with our fellow men and women. Lord, we thank you that you offer us the chance, the pathway of peace. We thank you that you came to give us that opportunity of peace, that you came to wash away our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You came at a time when there was nobody, not a single person in the world that was righteous. Even in the time of Noah, there was 7 or 8 people who had counted as righteous, but in the time of Jesus, there was nobody, and you came and you gave yourself. Lord, we give you thanks this morning. And like Mary, as she just sang, we do indeed bless you because you've understood our need and you've come down to live amongst us, to show us your way. So forgive us our sins. Cleanse us, we pray. Lead us forward, we ask. And bless us as we seek to celebrate the spirit of Christmas in this secular world. Lord, hear our prayers because we ask them in Jesus' name. Amen. So it's a children's talk for Seth then, is it? And Seth's not children, is he? No. Have you got an advent calendar, Seth? Have you got one or two?
I've got two.
Yes.
Yes. So I decant the advent calendar, put it in there, and I open the drawer.
And the chocolate's inside. Right. Right, so that's good, isn't it? Two advent calendars. I suppose other people have got advent calendars. And you've got one. My kids were commenting this week, they were saying, my three children, they're saying, do you remember, Dad, when we were so poor, when we only had one advent calendar between us, and we had to do it every third day? I mean, that's the day, isn't it? Yeah, and yet, now my children have bought their children two. Like Seth's got two calendars to make up for that stress and trauma that they experienced all those years ago. I don't suppose you've got one of those calendars from the jewellers in London. I forget the name of the jewellers, rather posh jeweller. They cost £22,600, these advent calendars. And in each one, each drawer is a guaranteed jewellery worth £600. Each drawer. So I imagine that if you divide that into 22,600, I imagine on Christmas Eve you do quite well. Well, you might run out of ears to put things on, I presume, and fingers. But that's the world we live in. That's the world we live in. The world is a world where we just seem to be stacking stuff up. You go into the supermarkets, even the aisles where it's health and safety usually are stacked, aren't they? Crackers, candles, chocolates, all manner of things. Bottles of gin, you can turn the bottom on and it lights up and flashes at you. I mean, what is the world coming to? Just to try and sell, you probably haven't seen those, have you? No. They're in Marks and Spencer's. If you go to Marks and Spencer's and at the bottom of gin, it starts flashing the lights inside the gin. Yes, Seth? You have?
And I
opened the door and the keys. Oh, right. Have you got an advent candle as well? You burn down? Oh, right.
Not
22,000, no. I think Chewy have done one as well. You can, each day, you've got a flight to a different part of Europe if you want to take one in there. About £6,000 they are. Look, I want to simply say this. Christmas is important. And I want to say also, Jesus is enough. We don't need anything else, do we? I mean, if you have a bit of turkey and a few crackers and a bit extra, that's fine. But Jesus is enough. And our message, hopefully, and our lifestyle reflects the fact that Jesus truly is enough. And I hope and pray that over Christmas, over these next few days, although we shall enjoy the season, I hope we shan't forget what's there at the very centre of the message, that God does want to bring a blessing and peace, a most wonderful thing. So, please, make room for Jesus, make space. As that hymn in the bleak midwinter goes, verse 4, what can I give him, poor as I am? And that's a good question. And the answer is, brothers, let's pray. Lord, we remember that you told us that whatever we ask in your name, you will give us. And we have confidence, Lord, as we recognise your willingness to hear our prayers. So many came to you, so many called to you in the street, and on so many occasions you just stopped and you turned. And you look to that person in the crowd as though they're the only person there. And Lord, this morning, with many prayers going up to you, we also would pray. We would also trust, Lord, that you would give us your undivided attention, that you'd hear our prayers, that you'd hear our words, that you would recognise the needs and the situations that we bring to you. We bring this church to you, Lord, and we thank you for the various Christmas events taking place. A magazine there in the foyer, which is filled with the events of the Christmas season. Lord, we pray that each event, each opportunity of fellowship and worship will be times when we can gather and when we can hear your voice and when we can share your truths and when we can go out with more of your spirit in our hearts. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to us. We thank you, Lord, for all that you seek to do in this place in these days. Bless our leaders, bless those who gather week by week, for those who just come in perhaps on odd occasions for coffee maybe, or even to rent the room off the church. We pray for a blessing on everyone who moves onto these premises. And for the local community too. Lord, bless us, we ask. Bless those who live nearby. May they somehow hear the good news of Jesus. We pray for our town. We thank you for people like the street pastors who faithfully serve this town in the midnight hours. We thank you for all that goes on in this market town of England. And we ask, Lord, that you would continue to be amongst us, to bless our leaders, to bless those who make decisions on our behalf, and to work, Lord, we pray, through many to bring about your purposes. We pray, Lord, also for your blessing upon the world in which we live. We think of our leaders and the difficulties they have in making just and wise decisions. We think of the chaos that we see on our televisions in different parts of our world. We pray a blessing upon situations in the Middle East, in the Ukraine, in Yemen. Lord, in so many places where there is no peace, where men, as we've just sung, war against each other and do not hear the good news of the gospel. Lord, extend your kingdom, we pray, in these days. We think of our missionaries, for Andrea and Mark in Chad and others, Lord, that we know who serve you in difficult places. We pray for them, as particularly as they are separated from their families in this Christmas season. Lord, be with all who seek to advance your kingdom, but for ourselves and this place, bless us, warm our hearts, strengthen our spirits, and lead us into the year that lies ahead. Lord, hear our prayers, accept our thanks for your goodness to us, for the money we've offered you, for the money that's been sent to the bank directly or sits at the back waiting to be counted later. Lord, we give to you now this church and its ways and ask your blessing. And now as we turn to your word, we pray that you would speak to us. Open your word to us, reveal your truths, tell us things that we want to hear or need to hear, things perhaps that even at this Christmas season, a familiar season, we'd either forgotten or have never heard. So speak to us and bless us, because we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I'm going to read from John chapter 1. It's a strange chapter. It's often read at carol services and often we skip over it, but I just thought that John 1 could be a useful step into our Christmas today. So John 1 goes like this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only to witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone who was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to those who were his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet all who do receive him, those who believed on his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children not born of a natural descent, nor indeed of human decision, nor of a husband's will, but children born of God. We do indeed thank God for his word, as we just want to look briefly now this morning at what he has to say to us. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm used to this time of year going on a Christmas dinner with my work colleagues. When I worked at the council, it was Julie or Jane's job to get somewhere booked. And we went to some pretty rough places, I can tell you, over the years. But the one thing that happened this time of year was even the scruffiest person in the office would dress up for the Christmas dinner. And except the borough treasurer, who used to come in his usual suit. So we'd all go there, it's really smart. You know, people who didn't wear ties had ties on, ladies who didn't wear smart dresses wore something a bit smart, except the borough treasurer, who just turned up in his usual suit. So when we got to the place, the venue, there'd be about 20 of us sitting around the table, and to see people like that with Christmas hats on is always a bit embarrassing, to be honest. And we'd sit there, and then the waitress had come out, and you could just see the difficulty, because she obviously, or he obviously, wanted to serve the boss first. But when you look around the table, you couldn't tell who the boss was. In fact, you wouldn't have thought the 5'2" treasurer with scruffy clothes on was the boss. And my boss, who was 6'6" and scrubbed up quite nicely, really, he was the one who the waitress often went to and gave him his dinner first, because she thought he was the boss, much to the annoyance of the treasurer. It's a bit like when Wilson and Mannering get confused, you know, when often they don't realise Mannering's the captain, and they always think Sergeant Wilson is, and Mannering gets really cross, doesn't he? Now, that's the situation we're in today as we come to Christmas. Because, you know, Jesus came into this world, and if you'd have looked at him, and many people did look at him, he didn't look any different from anybody else. He looked exactly the same. In fact, the reason that, as one of the carols said, he was veiled, as it were. He was God, but he was veiled from we didn't see the glory of God as we ought to. You know, this morning, I hope and pray that we will see Jesus as God. We will see him as who he is, the Word of God, who was with God in the beginning, who created this world, and then who came down to rescue it and to save it. That is the message. And that is something that many have not recognised over the years, and many don't recognise today. Come into Sainsbury's with me. If you want to go and buy 4 pints of milk, right, you've got to have your glasses on, I've discovered. You can't just go into Sainsbury's and pick up 4 pints of milk, because when you get it home, if you haven't looked at the date, you suddenly find it's tomorrow. Okay? All the milk looks the same. All the milk on the shelf is fresh, but some milk's going to last a lot longer than others. And so I don't even like getting my click and collect lady to pick up my milk. I want to go in there and choose one that's got a good date on it and I can use for the next week or so. And that's the same this morning. We need to put our spiritual glasses on. We need to look carefully at the scriptures, to look carefully at the Bible, to see what God is saying and to understand where to make our decisions and who to trust. You know, I've got one of these alarm clocks at the side of my bed. It's a battery-operated thing. And the trouble is that the big hand and the little hand are very similar in size. And particularly this time of year, if you wake up in the middle of the night, and the hopper 7's middle of the night, can't it, these days, you look at your clock and you can't always tell what time it is. 1:20 is the same as 4:05 when I'm looking at it. And you can't tell. So what you have to do is, you can't turn the light on and wake your wife up. So what you do is you lie there and you wait for 5 minutes and you see which hand moves 5 minutes. But it's all right, isn't it? By which time you're completely awake. By which time you watch it do another 5 minutes and another 5 minutes. But you know, we live in a world which has got shadows and darkness. And the only way we're going to see the truth is to sit and stare and to consider, to meditate, to allow God's truth to come into our lives. We've got to look at our alarm clock and we've got to watch it move. We've got to look at our Bible and watch what Jesus goes on to do. It isn't just that Jesus says he's God. He actually speaks to winds and waves and they stop waving and winding, don't they? He actually touches people's hands and they become healed. He touches their eyes and they can see. This is the Jesus who we have to look at his whole life to get the full picture. And then when you know what time it is, when you can see the truth, you can respond accordingly. If it's 7:45 and it's still dark and you just don't realise what time it is, you can jolly well get up and get sorted. But if it's a strange time in the middle of the night, then you have to go back to sleep. We need to see the time. We need to be able to respond. And we can only do that if we stare and look carefully. A quick glance is totally confusing. A quick glance and you'll never know. The only thing I'll tell you is 5:05 is an easy time to watch, because if you look at the clock and it's 5:05 rather than 6:25, you know it's 5:05 because Manvinder's dad next door gets in his car and goes to work. Okay? So it isn't always a case of just looking. Sometimes you've got to listen as well. And they say 5:05, and if it's a cold morning, Manvinder's dad's scraping the car. He runs the Premier Corner Shop down Highfield Road, and he has to get there to open it up at 6. and he always starts his car by 5:30. Except Christmas Day, every other day, 5:30, Manvinder's dad starts his car. I don't even know his name, I only ever know him as Manvinder's dad. Isn't it terrible, really? I've been living next door to him for 25 years and I don't even know his name. Manvinder's dad, because his son was called Manvinder and he used to be at school with my son. But you don't know your children's parents' first names, usually. So, look carefully. Meditate. Just get the whole picture. Don't respond about what you first see. You see, Jesus' life, he is the light. When Lazarus dies, Jesus says, I am resurrection, I am life. He brings to light life, true everlasting life. He brings this light into people's lives. You know, you try it tonight without a light in your house. Turn the lights up and walk around. It's a foreign country, is it not? And my wife's made things more difficult for me walking around at night because she's put a coffee table in the middle of the lounge now. And just sometimes you forget. I've got a dreadful bruise on my arm because yesterday, or the day before, my wife went to a choir practice. She came back, put the stuff on the stairs, and when I got upstairs, I said, don't turn the lights on, because, I mean, I know where I am. Well, I thought I did, until I walked on the choir stuff and crashed onto the stairs and bruised on my arm. I didn't even know I bruised my arm until yesterday when I had a photograph taken, and it came up on a photograph because I had my short sleeves on. So, you know, a dark place is a difficult place. I went to Iceland in April with my friend Andrew and Stevenson, and we went and spent some time there. And I met some local Icelandic people, and I said to them, actually, Andrew's there this weekend, believe it or not. He's gone to see how dark it can get. It doesn't get light till midday, and the sun sets at 2:30. So it's pretty dark in Reykjavik at this time of year. And I said to the people there, what's it like in Iceland in the winter? It's pretty cold, I reckon. They said, oh, we don't care about the cold. In fact, it's no different temperature than here often. They said, what we really care about is the dark. We don't like the dark. You can't see things. You can't do things. You don't have the freedom. It causes depression. It causes us to get fed up. And this morning, you know, we do need this light of God's love in our lives. We are living in a world with many situations of mental illness and stress. And if we don't have light, we don't have hope, then we don't see things clearly. And God offers us these things at Christmas. But you know, Jesus came into this world and he was rejected by many. He came into this world and he gave himself and he shared all he had, but people don't want him. I went to Gates' Garden Centre a few days ago. Now, Gates' Garden Centre I think they do sell flowers somewhere, but most places they don't. They sell shoes, they sell Lakeland stuff, you can buy all manner of stuff for the kitchen, and they've got this most massive display of Christmas stuff. They've got reindeers singing and dancing. They've got Father Christmas telling stories. They've got absolutely wild things. They've got everything you could want. They've got things going round, playing music. They've got trains going up hills in Switzerland. They've got all these things. But they haven't got a nativity set. Well, they have, actually. It's under the counter, and you have to ask for it. Isn't it sad? Isn't it sad that the reason we've got Christmas isn't recognised? It's there, but no, we don't want to offend anybody. There's 5 or 6 little rooms, and one's got silver baubles in, one's got gold baubles in, one's got red baubles in. Why do you need 6 rooms of 6 different colour baubles when you don't have Jesus? Why do you need these things? It is so sad that the world, and let's be honest, it is rejection. This is turn our back on Jesus. The National Trust recently wanted to celebrate the year with seasonal events on next year's calendar. And the two events they don't celebrate is Easter and Christmas. They don't put those on because they say, everybody knows those things happen anyway. We don't need to celebrate those. But that's what I call just rejection. And it's the world we live in, and we have to be aware of this. And we have to recognise that God is excluded from so many situations. And we have to counter that. And we as Christians at Christmas, we have the chance to consider, to look carefully, and to recognise really God is in charge, he is doing his things, and Jesus is the answer. And as we said earlier, Jesus is enough. So many people just want to carry on doing things in their way. They don't want... I mean, when the kings came to Jesus... to Bethlehem and to Jerusalem and said, where is Jesus born? Where is this baby going to get born? And they, all the leaders said, in Bethlehem, it's obvious. That's where he gets, where the king's going to get born. And the kings go off and look for him, and the religious leaders stay behind. Because they want to enjoy their own lives and circumstances. They don't want things to change. The psalmist laughs at those who are wealthy but lie in their graves, and somebody else is enjoying their wealth. Yet we have the chance to enjoy our riches, our treasure for eternity, by a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because all who receive Jesus are not born of a human desire or will, but they're born of God. Inheritors of life. Isn't that a lovely thing? I've often said before, haven't I? If you told you got an inheritance, it's a wonderful, wonderful letter, isn't it? You've inherited something. And, you know, it's a wonderful thought to inherit something. And yet here we are, inheritors of life, of eternity, of all the good things. Our job is to repent of our sins, to turn from our ways, to seek to line our lives up with his ways, to be reborn by his Spirit, to become, as we often sing, a new creation, children of God. Do you watch Martin Luther? Wednesday nights, he's quite good, really. They had a survey last week, didn't they? Who wants to cancel Christmas? Push a button. If you push a button, you can cancel Christmas. So 35% of his viewers did. So it's cancel Christmas completely. He says you can still have the day off and do what you want. I thought, I like that. But you haven't got to get involved in presents or cards or turkey or anything like that. You can just do what you want. And all your family and friends can be cancelled out of the situation as well. And 35% said yes. And 37% said, I would like to, but I'm going to keep Christmas going just for the kids. You know, Christmas isn't for the kids. It's become for the kids, but it isn't for the kids. Christmas is for adults. Christmas is for people who really are serious about life and eternity, about sin, about their lives and all that we are. Christmas is a time when we become serious, and it's for adults to make a serious and genuine lifelong response to God and his grace and his mercy. There's a man on television they showed in August who celebrates Christmas every day. He cooks a turkey every day and has trimming, all the pigs in blankets, every single day of the year, 365 days. And you laugh at him. I laughed at him anyway. He says, it's great. I wouldn't want to miss Christmas. Christmas tree's always up, always Christmas every day in his house. It's quite an interesting story. They always find these crazy people on television, don't they? Always find them. And they're all around us. But, you know, I was in somewhere else the other day and Wizard was singing, I wish it could be Christmas every day. And then you sort of dance down the aisles and buy more stuff, don't you, when you sing like that. But you know, to a certain extent, let's be honest with ourselves, it is Christmas every day for us Christians. Jesus does come every day. We do meet him every day. We do wonder that he should bother with us. We do are amazed that God should make himself known. We are excited that Jesus Christ is in the world, and every day is Christmas. So let me ask you a question. Just picture it. King Charles and Queen Camilla come and live next door to you. Just imagine it. Just imagine how things would be in your street. The journalists, the police, the comings and goings. You may not talk to I still call him Prince Charles. You may not talk to King Charles, but it would make a difference to your street, would it not? You may choose not to get involved. You may even choose to sell your house and move on. You might get more for it or less, I don't know, depending on what idiots there are out there. But let's be honest, that's the situation. Now, that's what's happened in John chapter 1. Jesus, the King of the universe, came down from heaven and dwelt amongst us. He pitched his tent, so it says in John chapter 1. He pitched his tent. He lived amongst us. He lives amongst us. And whether you like it or not, whether you talk to him or not, he is here, and life in your street won't be the same, nor should it be. And our job is to decide how we're going to respond to the King of Kings living amongst us. I hope we can reach out this morning and not only admit that he's living amongst us, but as we take the bread and drink the cup, I hope we allow him to live in us, that we become part of him. We're his body. and that somehow we become Jesus to others and to the world around us. So, we're going to sing, but we're going to hopefully then respond to God in the bread and the cup as we allow him into our lives and recognise who he is and what he's doing in our lives and this world. What are we going to sing?
Holy Child, I've been chosen.
Holy Child, we are. Another one you're not singing tonight. Yes, Holy Child. And let's sing it with honesty and recognise that he really is the Holy Child who gives to us a blessing. Thank you. Are you going to come and join? Who else is serving? You just sit down a minute. Okay, I'll ask you to. Let's just introduce it. You sit down. This is not the pantomime section. I must admit, I do like all the Christmas jumpers this morning. There's quite a lot. Quite a few people have got them on. And they look very nice, may I say. I haven't bought one yet. I'm waiting until I get a bit older. I might leave it too late. That's the trouble. So if you truly and earnestly repent of your sins, if you're in love and charity with your neighbours, if you are resolved to lead a new life, following God's commands and walking in his ways, then draw near with faith. Take this sacrament as comfort and growth in grace. This is not just something that we just do at the end of a service. This is very much part of our very centre of our faith, when we accept Jesus Christ into our lives and receive his blood that washes free our sins. This is an exciting time when we commit ourselves to him and recognise our need of him. For God loved the world so much, he gave his only Son, that everyone who believes in him may not die, but will have everlasting life. For Jesus is the bread of life. He who comes to him will never be hungry. He who drinks will never be thirsty. And so we come to the Lord this morning. We remember what the apostle says to us. He says, I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We're going to do as the early church did, and we're going to pray a prayer of thanksgiving, and Carol is going to do that. Thank you.
Lord, as we remember at this season Jesus coming into the world as a baby, may we also remember Jesus the man and Jesus our Saviour. Thank you, Father, for sending Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for dying for us on the cross. Thank you that we can know the peace that only you can give. Thank you for your grace. Thank you that you forgive us. Thank you, Lord, for all the blessings you give us, our homes, food and clothes. Thank you that we can worship you freely, that we have your word and each other. As we celebrate your first coming, may we be ready and waiting for your return. Mm. Amen.
Amen. Amen. It is good to say thank you, isn't it, for all that we receive, and particularly for the gift of grace that comes to us from heaven itself. From that night when he was betrayed, Jesus took bread. After they'd given thanks, he broke it. And he said, this is my body that's been broken for you. Take and eat it. Respond, if you like. Take me into yourself and have this fellowship, this communion, this relationship with me. And so we take the bread, and as we receive it, we shall eat it immediately, and we shall express our fellowship with our Lord and our Saviour. The body of Christ, broken for you. After the supper was over, Jesus took the cup and he gave thanks and he gave it to them. And he said, drink this, all of you, for this represents my blood of the new covenant, blood which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Like those young apostles all those years ago, we too will reach out this morning and take the cup. We shall retain it, and together we shall drink, and we shall remember what Jesus Christ eventually did for us by dying on the cross and washing away our sins. The blood of Christ given for you.
Thank you.
And so we take the cup and we remember this is indeed represents the very life of God poured out
for each of us. The blood of Christ given for you. We drink and are thankful. Your death, O Lord, we commemorate. Your resurrection, we confess. Your second coming, we are awaiting. Glory be to you, O Christ, for Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. We bless you, Lord, for your goodness to us, and we pray that you would keep us in eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. And so we sing our final hymn, Light of the World, you step down out of darkness. And so may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards us and give us peace. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the friendship each day of the Holy Spirit be ours, now and for always. Amen.